good evening. I hope everybody's well. And I hope you're doing your meditations for the 9 days. It is available on the website, www.yeshem.com. If you go to the right and scroll down slightly, you'll see a section called Inquiries. And if you go to the unique astrological events or times, I forget, click on that, and then scroll down on that page, you'll see the 3-week meditation. So please utilize the meditation, because it does bring balance into this period. Please join me in saying the Anabakoah.
Anabakoah Gedula Chamin Ka Tati Tserura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these 6 letters is 506, which is the gematria of the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, or love for no reason. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu no ra. Kufrei Shayan, Sin Tet Nun. These 6 letters spell 2 Hebrew words, kra, which means tear up, satan, the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same 6 letters can be rearranged to spell 2 other Hebrew words, sha'ar katan, small gates. And it's a reminder to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, the gates that are the entry points to our soul that the negative forces are constantly attempting to enter. Na gibor Dorsheyehudcha kevavat shamren. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The first 3 letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. And as a reminder, sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that lets us take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachame sidkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzadi taf gimel. The letters for the month of Av, the month that we are in right now, are the kaf that created the planet known as the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, or Lion, and Aryeh has a gematria of 216, the same number of letters in the 72 names of God, 72 times 3, 216. The 6 letters of this verse
connect us to the Sefirah of Netzach. And one of the aspects of Netzach is eternal victory. Not just winning a war or a battle, but winning the only war that counts, eternally winning the war against the desire to receive for oneself alone. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Het Kuf Bet Ted Nunayan. These six letters connect us to the Sefirah of Hod, and one of the aspects of Hod is appreciation, thankfulness, something we constantly need to be reminded about, to be appreciative for the beneficence of God, the goodness of God, for all that we have, and to ask for more, which is part of appreciation as well, because it gives pleasure to the Creator to give us more if we have created a larger vessel to receive more. Or I should say, when we have created a larger vessel to receive more. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zopre kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. The sequence of letters helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea talumot. Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. These six verses, six letters, the first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. And that represents the perfection of all of the worlds. And the last four letters, Vav, Tzadiyutav, has a gematria of 506, the same gematria as the first verse, and the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And it teaches us the path to perfection is through the attribute of love. And the last verse we say in a whisper, which we call silently, but I will say out loud for the purposes of teaching, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Boyet. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our class, we are going to bring the energy of holiness to our class through the Zohar. I am reading from section 60 of the portion of Chazinu, titled From the Book of the Physician Kartama. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanehu Man Diyit Chazeh Lish Rukshe Yit Pesuk Le V'yachavai Le But ve asre ad diyishtirash mikola uzimnin diyishtirash mishayfe o mechad minayhu ulvatar yapkun le mibe asire man diyitchaze namavet haki hu diilu yitan kol kufra. The call Alma La Yishtaziv. Whoever is sentenced to uprooting, he is seized and put in prison until he is uprooted in every sense, that is, until he and his children die. Sometimes he is uprooted in limbs or in one of them. Whoever is sentenced to death, it so happens that he dies. And if he gives as ransom all the money in the world, he cannot be saved. Obviously, it's a very esoteric verse, and it sounds very frightening. And there is no coincidence. There must be a reason we read that verse during this 9-day period. But understand that the book of Hazino is describing, or the portion of Hazino is the last portion, and is the portion read, the book of Hazino is the last portion that Moshe spoke before he died. And it is a very esoteric portion. It's a song. And we know whenever there's a song, we're talking about higher levels of energy, more connected levels of energy. And this section 60 is the last section of the Zohar. It's the last section of the last volume. So it is talking about the beginning of a new cycle, which is what the idea of being uprooted is all about. So people do actions. They don't realize that their actions are causing them to lose life force. And eventually, when they've used up their life force, they end up dying, which is why we die in the world, not because of cancer or heart disease or accidents. We die because we've used up our life force through our own silly negative actions. And this book of the physician Kartana is talking about that aspect of how we can recover the life force we've given away using the sequence Yudkaf Shin within the Anabakoach and other tools that we were given in the Kabbalah through the 72 names. But ultimately, the best way, and truly the only way, to return life force is to do tshuva for those negative actions. And we are starting to get close to the 10 weeks, or we're in actually, but this is the 8th week before Rosh Hashanah, before the 22 days of holiday, the 22 days of everybody dying and everybody being resurrected and nobody noticing, the 22 days of birth to maturity, bringing and manifesting the energy of next year, which I am starting to study and appears to be a year of plenty. Because one of the aspects of that year is to get fat, to get stout. But we'll talk about that another time. Tonight, before I go on tonight, I would like to mention that the class I did this past Sunday in San Diego, titled Questions and Answers, and it's listed on the Revealed Wisdom page of the SM website, class 4 from San Diego. I highly recommend people listen to it. It was truly, just new people to Kabbalah asking questions, and the answers were quite enlightening. So I suggest you all listen to it. Before I go on to the subject of tonight, does anybody have any questions? Okay, it's not yet sundown in the West Coast, but tonight is considered the third of Av, and the fifth of Av, halfway through the 9 days, is the day that the Ari HaKadosh chose to leave the world. Now, most people don't accept this statement, and as we always teach, never believe a word I say, but test these things for yourself. The fifth of Av can be utilized as a holiday, as a very energy-intensive day of goodness amidst all of this negativity. And the reason that we're able to utilize that day is through the auspices of the Ari HaKadosh. Now, who is the Ari? He lived 500 years ago, 1530 to 1570 roughly. I don't know the exact dates. I could have prepared for that, but I'm not sure that it's that important. He died at the age of 37 or 38. The first time I heard it, it was 37. Then I heard from the academic Kabbalists it was 38. Thirty-seven is a very young age to pass. He actually only taught his one student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, who is the only person who wrote his teachings down. And he didn't write it down himself, he wrote it down with his son, Rabbi Samuel Vital. And he wrote it down living in the land of Syria, modern-day Syria, in Damascus. Of course, that is part of the land of Israel, according to the Torah, which leads us to lots of discussions about where is Israel? Where is Israel as a consciousness? Israel is a consciousness. But it's also a physical land. And it is said at the time of the Messiah that the consciousness, the physical land, will expand and will include everywhere where there are people manifesting the consciousness of being an Israeli, someone who wrestles with God. And we know from what goes on in the land of Israel, it is not always the best, the most holy place. It is the most holy place. God forbid I should malign the land. But people's actions are not always the most holy in that place. And recently, this week, on the first of Av, on Rosh Chodesh, a woman was arrested for carrying a Torah at the Western Wall, at the Wailing Wall. This woman is the leader of a group of women who go every month to Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh, to pray at the wall. And they like to pray in the way that they like to pray. And they follow Orthodox halakha. And the Haredi community, the religious community, the Orthodox community, who is in control of the wall, does not like the way they pray, even though they admit that they follow Orthodox halakha. They say you just don't follow the customs, the history, the minhag, and therefore you are wrong. And this woman, you can see it on YouTube, you can see it on the internet, this woman was arrested, and it's not clear what she was arrested for. I think the charge is praying, doing a religious act against the majority view of it's something totally absurd. I apologize for even bringing it up, other than to say that this kind of disparity and this kind of conflict coming amidst Jewish people against Jewish people in the middle of the 9 days is just feeding this energy to Satan. And I'd like just to ask people to think and be aware and start to look for cause and effect in the world. And God forbid we see the effects of this soon. I hope I'm wrong in that perception. Anyway, we are talking about a beautiful soul, the godly Rabbi Yitzhak. He is the only person, the only sage, throughout all of time, who was given the name the godly Elohai. We call our sages by diminutives, the Ari, the Ramak, Rashi. We refer to them in these shorthand terms. And what are those shorthand terms? They're words that are made from the initials of their name, Rashi, Rabbi Solomon, or the Rabbi Shlomo ben Israel. That is the name of Rashi. He was named Shlomo, and his father's name was Israel. You can also say it was foreordained because he is the teacher of Israel. So, Rabbi means teacher, Shlomo is his name, and Israel is the nation, or his father. But we call him Rashi, and everyone refers to him because he's really the most prolific and aware writer, commentator on all aspects of the written and oral laws, the Talmud, the Chumash, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings. So we call it Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. We know how these names come. So here we have a man whose name is Rabbi Isaac Ashkenazi. His last name is Ashkenazi, meaning his family came from Germany. And he writes about the Sephardic minhagim, the Sephardic custom. And his story of his life, he was born in Jerusalem. His father died when he was 5. His mother took him to live with a wealthy uncle, her brother, in Egypt, where Jewish people are not supposed to go. One of the halakhot that comes directly from the Torah, in one of the verses, God says to Moses, don't go back there again. But Jewish people go on vacation ever since Egypt and Israel has signed the peace agreement that they signed, which is not complete, obviously, but it's more better than it was. We are moving in the direction of peace. We are moving towards a way of bringing the Mashiach in the peaceful manner without the war of Armageddon. And these are some of the steps along the way. So Egypt has Israeli people do their vacations in Egypt. And they have a lot of accidents and a lot of mishaps and a lot of stuff because they're doing something against what the Torah says. But nobody sees this cause and effect. Nobody makes these connections. Nobody looks for the cause and effect. And that's really what the teachings of the Ari are. He teaches us to look for cause and effect. What I teach started with creation, and then it was brought down to Moses, and then from Moses to Joshua, and we have a whole direct lineage up until the greater assembly, which is where the people who wrote the Talmud and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who participated in the Talmud in Israel and answered questions and is quoted frequently in the Talmud from Babylonia. And then directly, the next person whose comments, who changed the Kabbalah, was the Ari. He created a brand new system, a brand new metaphorical system of understanding the Kabbalah, so that the modern person can relate to it. The modern person can understand what this idea of learning how to receive the goodness of God is all about. Learning how the Sefirot transform the energy of God into the physical world to a level that it can handle it, and who can understand that our jobs as human beings is to transform this world into a place that can receive the goodness of God, and so that the goodness of God can be revealed in this world. And our job is to separate between the Kadosh, between the Tahor, between the pure and the impure, between what is holy. And it, basically, by separating what's pure from what is impure, we give it the opportunity to become Kadosh, to become holy. And this is the teachings of the Ari. The only person in the history of the world who's been given the initial Elohai, or the word Elohai, which means the godly. The godly Rabbi Yitzhak, the Ari. The Ari means lion, Aryeh. He was obviously a Leo, because we know our sages die on the same day they were born. This is a truth that it's one of the signs of a sage, one of the signs of a tzaddik. It's not the only sign, and it doesn't mean that somebody who doesn't die on his birthday is not a tzaddik, but it's just one of those signs. So what day did Rabbi Isaac Luria choose to leave? He chose to leave on the 5th of Av. The 5th of Av is the 5th day of the 5th month. 5 represents, in the lower Sefirot, the frame of Hod. The Torah is given on the 6th day of Sivan. Then we start counting the Omer. And the 33rd day of the Omer, the day that Rabbi Shimon left, is the Chod Shebechod in the frame of the Omer. The 5th of Av is Chod Shebechod in this different frame of the months. Rabbi Isaac Luria left this day to give us an opportunity to bring this energy of the potential of the revelation of the Torah into this period of negativity, protected so that it cannot go to the negative side, even though everything is supposed to go to them. But what we do on this day can be protected. And that is why the Kabbalists have a custom of staying up all night. The 5th day is Friday this week, so we will stay up all night Thursday night, and we will study. On the website, yeshem.com, there is a section of Hilulim, a list of all of the sages who have died that are considered tzaddikim. And the month of Av, and again, you can find this on the right side of any page under the section Inquiries and under the term Hilulah or Yortzeit. You can track down a link to this study, a link to the study that explains, it's basically 86 pages of English translation of the Ari's writings and what he is saying. and it helps to elevate us during this period that seems to be so dark. But we have to remember that its darkness is just the process before the revelation of light. Rabbi Isaac Luria, we have many famous stories about Rabbi Isaac Luria. We have famous stories about animals that would come up to him and communicate. And they would be saying to him, no one understood what they were saying except him, because he spoke the language of the various animals. And animals do have language. And I will even go so far as to say they're dialects of Hebrew, because they're in that range, but you have to understand what Sephirah, the animal, is from to understand the language that they would be speaking. And the animal would come and say, please slaughter me. I'm the soul of so-and-so, a human being who reincarnated into this animal you see before you, and I have reached my correction. It is time for me to be elevated. Please do the shechita, because I can only be elevated through a kosher slaughtering and a sulda, being elevated by the people who know what they're doing. And these conversations would go on, where the Ari would test the animal, the human being in the animal, to see if he truly had achieved his tikkun. There are many stories like that about the Ari. Are they true? Never believe a word I say. But we know that the language of animals was known to our sages. It was known to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that that this information is still available to those in this world who are capable and pure enough and are interested enough to learn it. But I will give you this story that I've heard, which is a beautiful story, as a warning to be careful what you ask for and what you choose to learn. The story is of a member of the circle around the Baal Shem Tov, who lived 300 years ago, around the 1720s, 1700, 1740. And the Baal Shem Tov, we know, was a very righteous soul. He was a reincarnation of the Ari. And he taught Kabbalah to the masses. And he got into conflict with the Mitnagim, the others, rabbis who wanted to follow the more traditional path of only knowledgeable people being taught the Kabbalah. And the Baal Shem Tov taught that service to God is joy. And that's the important aspect. And it's not how much you know and how many books of the Torah you can memorize, but what you feel essentially your connection to God and the energy that you put into that connection. And one of his students, the Baal Shem Tov students, asked the Baal Shem Tov to teach him the language of birds. And at first, the Baal Shem Tov refused to teach him. And the person did not give up. And he begged the Baal Shem Tov. And what isn't told in the stories, but has to be obvious, the Baal Shem Tov would not have taught this man the language of birds unless he was given permission to do so. And the only way he would have been given permission to do so, when you hear the story, it's to understand the idea of what the way the universe works, which is, if you ask 515 times, the universe must manifest your desire. It's one of the spiritual rules that if you truly desire it so much that you will beg 515 times for something, that something will come into your life, irrespective of whether you need it or just want it. But it will come with consequences, as you will see from this story. The Baal Shem Tov finally gave in and taught the man the language of birds. And the man was very happy to have this desire fulfilled. And he was leaving his house, and as he was walking to his job, he heard the birds saying that there were robbers coming to and going into his house. So he ran back to his house and caught the robbers and arrested them. Thanked the birds, was very appreciative of how he was saved from this loss of property. And a few months later, he was on his way to work again when the birds told him that his house was on fire, and he hurried back home and put out the fire, again saving himself all this loss of property. And a few months later, he was going to work when the birds came by, and since he knew their language, he heard them say that so-and-so was going to die, and that so-and-so was him. So he didn't go to work. He went to the Baal Shem Tov and asked for a blessing to make the decree go away. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, looked at him, said, the birds told you that you were going to be robbed, and you stopped the robbery, therefore minimizing the destruction of property that you would have cleansed your negativity. And then the birds told you about the fire, that you would have also had some cleansing of your negativity. But now, since you know the language of birds, there's no way to cleanse your negativity except to have you pass. So this decree cannot be annulled. An interesting lesson, a wonderful story about the languages, an understanding we must always search for the true cause before we play with the effects, as we will be able to do in the time of Mashiach, as we are able to do now when we utilize the 72 names of God and the Yad HaKoach and the tools of Tshuva and all of the other tools that are taught in the Kabbalah. We always must be aware of what is the best thing for someone, not just for ourselves, but for other people. We must be asking that question. And that's really the message behind the Ari system. The Ari was the one who taught us about Tzimtzum. The Ari was the one who taught us about restriction. Rabbi Ashlag, who is the teacher that we follow, that I follow, and that as my students you follow. Rabbi Ashlag, well, it's really a story about the Ari, that he said to Rabbi Chaim Vital that your writings need to be concealed because they cannot be understood by the people of these generations. But that the Ari would reincarnate and he would rearrange the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital so that people could understand it.
And so the sequence of events after the Ari died, Rabbi Chaim Vital moved to Damascus. Did I mention that the Ari only wrote for two, only taught Rabbi Chaim Vital 2 years? And for those 2 years that he was in Sfat, having been sent from Egypt to meet Rabbi Chaim Vital, for 6 months of those 2 years, he did not try and meet his student that he was sent by heaven to teach. But he waited until Rabbi Chaim Vital walked into his store, because the Ari was a merchant, a wealthy merchant, but still a merchant. He walked into a store, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and was discussing some words of Torah with a question. And the Ari said something to Rabbi Chaim Vital, which Rabbi Chaim Vital didn't believe, because his ego said, I know more Torah than this man. He's just, who is he? He has no background. I'm a student of the Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, who lived in that town at that time, who, when he died, he had said that his system would die with him, and that from this time forward there would be another who would come forward and teach a new system that everyone in the world was to follow. It was an indication of a change of frame, a change of consciousness, that this world had fallen so much spiritually that to understand the system, it had to be on a lower level for us to understand it. And that came through the auspices of the Ari, through Rabbi Chaim Vital writing it down with his son Rabbi Shmuel Vital, and then burying his writings so that it could not be taught. And then approximately 100 years later, one of the relatives who knew where the burial, his grave was, where his books were buried with him, I believe the story says it was his son, but I'm not sure, may have been his grandson, who requested that he be allowed to raise the books, to dig up the books, because the information was needed for a particular saving of a particular life. And so Rabbi Chaim Vital came to this person and gave him his permission. The books were dug up, and they were disseminated, and they're known as the Etz Chaim by Rabbi Chaim Vital on the writings of the Ari. And every Mekubal has studied these books, and everybody reads them, and nobody understands them. And there are literally stories told of people who study in the yeshiva, Kabbalistic yeshiva in Jerusalem, this high point of Jewishness, and they study, and they don't understand what they memorize. They can quote you word from the Sefer, but they don't understand it. And I don't know what I'm saying and what it means, because I heard this from my teacher. Because do I truly understand what I teach? The answer is no. So it's not that I'm saying that these people are wrong or less. I'm saying we all have limitations about understanding these spiritual systems. We can only see parts of it, but those parts are what are necessary for our soul to make correction. There are stories told about the Ari, in addition to the language of animals. He was able to do face reading, and people of the town of Sfat, where he lived, and Sfat in the 1500s was a very unusual place. It was a place of wealth, lots of trade. When the Spanish ejected the Jewish people in 1492,
on the 9th of Av was the day they had to leave or have converted. Many converted and became what's known as Muranos or Conversos. And many left. And they went to Italy and to North Africa. And many settled in the land of Israel. Many in the northern part, around the area of Tiberias and Sfat. It was a very unusual area. A lot of wealth coming from being traders of cloth. And people would come to the Ari, and he would tell them their tikkun. He would give them tikkunim. Say this phrase 500 times. Study this sefer 3,000 times. I see that you slept with a menstruating woman. This is the correction for that action. Now, how would the Ari know that a man had slept with a menstruating woman? Most men don't even know they're sleeping with a menstruating woman. This is part of this trust that is built up in a Jewish marriage, that the woman is so aware of her body that she will not allow her husband close to her during that period. Play on words, people. But he would give people their tikkun. Now we have to understand, what does that mean? I, as a teacher, can see in my student, this is what my student did. Sometimes it's because they tell me a story, and I see through the story the way they're presenting it. And sometimes it's just a guess. And sometimes it's a message from my connection with the Creator that says the way to help this person is to let them know this truth about themselves. And once they know this truth about themselves, this is how they can correct it. All teachers do this at one level or another. But the Ari was able to do it with people he'd never met. The Ari was able to do it by looking into their soul, by being able to read the Hebrew letters that are on their forehead. My forehead, your forehead. By utilizing the medical techniques that come to us in modern times through the Eastern medicine, where there is a book in Chinese medicine that is described as the same system, same descriptions of how to take a person's pulse to know what's wrong with them. We think this comes from the East. It doesn't. It comes from Jewish medicine. It comes from Abraham, who sent his sons to the East with this information and this knowledge, and it is still available in Judaism, although concealed for so many thousands of years. And it's through the system of the Ari that we are able to connect with all of this information. On the 5th of Av, I would hope that you would stay up, not all night, if you're not able to. Don't push yourself if you're going to be working tomorrow. But the more that you study the information in this 86 pages, the stronger your connection to the Ari will be, the stronger your connection to his Hilulah, his day of joy, the joy when he rejoined the Creator, when he left this world of limitation, this narrow bridge, as the song created by Rabbi Nachman says, the world is a narrow bridge. When he left this limited world and returned to the heaven, to the home of our Father, he left a metaphysical gate for us to join. join him on this day by studying his teachings and using that as a day of protection in this 9-day period of so much negativity, so much desire to receive for oneself alone. And there is one final story that I need to tell you about the Ari, and I don't really know it well. But the story is told that Rabbi Chaim Vital begged the Ari to be taught a secret. And it's the secret that Rabbi Ashlag was taught by his teacher before he passed. His teacher passed. Rabbi Ashlag was a reincarnation of the Ari, just like the Baal Shem Tov. And he wrote the Sulam, the commentary that we read, that is published by the Kabbalah Center, and is now being published by the B'nai Baruch group. And we read this commentary. It's such a false word describing some people so great. We read this commentary on the Zohar, which is the Etz Chaim from the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital rearranged. It has the Esser, Rabbi Ashlag's book, the Esser Sefirot, the Ten Sefirot. He rearranged the Esser, the Etz Chaim, so that we could understand it today. It follows logically, something that shouldn't be logical, because intuition isn't logical. But he rearranged it in a way that we can utilize it. This is the connection between Rabbi Ashlag and the Ari. Rabbi Chaim Vital begged the Ari, teach me the secret about the mikveh. Teach me the secret about the mikveh. The same secret that Rabbi Ashlag's teacher taught him, and he became so ego-driven from the light revealed in the secret that his teacher left him and wouldn't teach him anymore. And his teacher, only after months of begging, returned to teach him one more time, and then his teacher died. Of course, his teacher stayed with him and returned to him in a more expanded role, because he wasn't limited by the physical world anymore. And his teacher continued to teach him. But the secret of the mikveh, which we have today, came at a price. It came as an effect. Rabbi Chaim Vital needed to know it, wanted to know it. The universe, Hashem said, the world isn't ready for this information. And the Ari chose to reveal this information, even though the universe said don't. Even though the universe made him aware there would be an effect, a very close personal effect. His youngest son would die if he revealed this information. What a choice. How does a teacher choose to reveal information that he knows will cause the death of his son? Now, on a logical basis, of course it didn't cause the death of his son. His son died from some illness, just as the Ari died at the age of 37 or 38 from a cold or a flu or some illness. And the academics will point all of this out to us when we say he chose to leave this day. The secret that he taught, the mikveh, is the solution to the cure for cancer. One needs to go to the mikveh to cure cancer. One needs to have the proper meditations. One needs to do other things as well. But the ultimate cure for cancer will be found through the mikveh. This is the secret that Rabbi Chaim Vital wanted to know, that the Ari chose to teach him at the cost of his son's life. And this is the secret that was brought down through the Kabbalah Center, and why water is sold by the Kabbalah Center, having been given this meditation and using it to change the water back to pre-Noah days, pre-flood days. This is the consciousness involved in the water. I don't bring this story to tell you go buy water from the Kabbalah Center, God forbid, because the meditations are there for all of us to utilize. They're in Hebrew. And there are other places to buy the water if that's what you're wishing to do. But it's not to even need the water, because we have other protection shields. We know to be happy in the month of Tammuz, because in that month is the only time cancer starts. So as long as you're happy during that month, you don't need the water. You don't need the secret about the mikveh. It's understanding this whole system of Kabbalah that I was fortunate enough to be taught, that I teach to my students. It's understanding cause and effect, to look for cause and effect, to understand that the woman who was arrested carries a soul of one of the Arab Rav. The woman who was arrested confronted and created this confrontation. She does it because as the soul of an Arab Rav, she is attempting to create divisiveness. And at the same time, the souls of the Haredi rabbis also have the souls of the Arab Rav. And these souls are playing out their tikkun from 3,500 years ago, from the building of the golden calf. Understanding cause and effect, so that we don't get caught up in the horrendousness of creating separation between ourselves and Hashem. We don't get caught up in creating negativity in this world, but just bring unity through our actions. This is the teaching of the Ari that I hope you take home tonight, that I hope you utilize during the rest of this period of time, 3 weeks, which is down now to 7 days. Tisha B'Av will be, I believe, next Monday night. There will not be class next Tuesday, because the fast of Tisha B'Av doesn't end until after the time of this class next week. You will be able to hear me, for those of you who wish, tomorrow night at 7:30. We will be talking about the 72 names of God and of the Sadiqim, from the Sadiqim. first time we have spoken about that. At 10, we'll be talking about the mitzvah of loving the ger. And on Thursday this week at 10 p.m., we will be reading from the Zohar, just prior to this beginning of the all-night study of recording that all-night study, but technologically there are issues of doing it because the free conference call system does not allow us to record more than 2 hours at a time. So just keep aware, keep in touch. Be safe, be careful, stay away from natural bodies of water during the balance of this 3-week period. And have a beautiful week and enjoy it. Be happy. Be aware that the temple has been destroyed. Be aware that we lack many things and much spiritual knowledge. Be aware that we need to be aware that we have this lack. But be joyful in that we have this lack as a way of building our vessel to reveal the Mashiach, who our sages teach will be born next Tuesday, starting next Monday night. That's a whole consciousness and a whole discussion that will take a little bit longer than we have tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Shalom.